Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. Let's listen in now as part two is already in progress. I'm very aware of what addiction looks like and what being unable to overcome those addictions without full submission to the Lord. And so no matter how I looked at it, I counted myself as unworthy in view of the Lord because I just couldn't get a hold of these things, right? And I recognize that there's other people that may see this differently. They may be justifying it because that's what happens. When we're struggling and we're maybe spending time doing things we shouldn't be doing, we find ways to justify it. Had a long day. Life's hard. I'm struggling right now. Whatever lies we tell ourselves. But the reality is that God sees something in you that you don't probably see in yourself at that moment in time. But again, we don't get clean until we're in the shower, not before we get in there, okay? So just, I want you guys to be aware that in chapter 4, when he's talking about it spoiled in the hand of the potter, we can make mistakes even while he's shaping us, okay? Because at the end of the day, he's going to be able to achieve his will, even if we, in our free will, make stupid decisions, make decisions that are not smart, okay? That don't benefit us or others. And so in the second half of verse 4, it says, so he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. So the point I want to pull across the table here and show you guys is that God may have given you a path. You may have done all the things right. You may have sought the knowledge of the Lord. You've sought his wisdom. So you've gone to the scriptures. You've studied them. You've sought an answer to your problem or to what direction you needed to go in your life. You're using discernment to get through that. You've gone to prayer and you've spoken to him about it. And then you've also sought out to speak to other believers for counsel for what decision you should make. And so through that process, you've discerned. Well, if at any point in this journey that the Lord has set you on, you come upon a failure where you make a mistake and in your free will, you choose something that is not in line with what God has planned for you. It doesn't mean that that's the end of the road. It doesn't mean that's it and we cannot continue to be used because this verse tells us that he remade that pot into another vessel. And as it pleased the potter to make. So again, God will reshape you. He will redirect you for what he has planned for you. So if you're someone who's thinking, I'm going to go join the military and it doesn't work out, well, you may have sought and done all those things that the Lord has asked you to do, but he's redirecting you. If you're somebody who has sought to do a job and you've pursued it, you've gotten the job, and then that job falls apart or it doesn't work out or the work environment is not what you expected, and sometimes that does happen, or you lose your temper one day and you say something you shouldn't say and you lose your job. It doesn't mean that that's the end of the road for you. It just means that God is remaking you. He has a new plan for you. He will shape you and use you as he needs to accomplish his will. Just be submissive. And that's kind of the name of the game here today. And his be submissive. Okay. And in verse 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me. Again, to Jeremiah, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as the potter does, declares the Lord. Behold the clay in the potter's hand. So are you, my hand, O house of Israel. When we think about this and how it applies to our lives, we have to understand that his full sovereignty over our life is what is most important here, is that he can shape you and make changes. In this context, he's talking about the nation of Israel and other nations as well. As he can do what he wills with you. He can use you in any way he wants to accomplish what he has planned. And so how he does that sometimes is he's going to, just like he's done with Israel, he's going to allow trials to happen in your life. Things will come that will challenge you in your beliefs. Sometimes we find ourselves being rebellious. Has anybody ever been rebellious in front of the Lord? Has anybody ever done that? I know I maybe have. I mean, that's probably just me. But, sometimes we get a little rebellious. We don't want to do what the Lord has asked us to do. And so what happens then is the fire gets turned up, right? We get put into that furnace of life. And as the wheel, right, on the stone or for the potter is moving around and around and around, that's life, right? So here we are spinning on this wheel and he's shaping us and he's doing the things that we're doing. And then once he's shaped us and we are kind of like in a good shape and we're ready to be used, if you will, in order for us to be a finished product for him, we have to make our way into the kiln, okay? We have to be heated. And so this is where we get tested sometimes. This is where the Lord has to test us and say, how closely are you walking with me? Are you willing to be obedient to me? Or are you going to continue to be rebellious? And so even when you're in the fire and things are getting challenging, it doesn't mean that he's forgotten you. It just means that he's preparing you for what that final stages look like, okay? So the heat from the furnace really gives the clay strength because it dries it out and everything sucks together and it provides rigidity for that clay. It makes it look really nice and it gets that nice smooth matte finish on it. And it increases the usefulness of that, what was just a hunk of clay, all right? So this is where when we're shaped up and we're in the furnace, God turns up the heat and things start to happen. We like to call it lightning phase, where things start to happen really fast. Maybe you're not prepared for it. Maybe it's moving faster than you're comfortable with. Maybe the Lord is facing you with challenges that you've never faced before in your life. Maybe it may be medical, right? It could be physical problems. It could be financial. It could be social issues. Your car could break down when you need. Maybe you just start a new job that's 10 miles from here and your car breaks down. Now what are you going to do, right? So you will have challenges that God will use to help shape you, all right? So in order for us to kind of build some context, and like I like to say, scripture interprets scripture, we're gonna look at some examples in scripture of when the fire was turned on and how that played out, okay? Jeremiah doesn't talk about the furnace in chapter 18 at all, but we know that every pot has to be fired in some way, okay? So that pot is not worth anything until it goes in the fire, okay? The fire is not punishment, but it is meant for your transformation. And the reason I'm highlighting that is because of some of the examples. So Job, anybody remember Job? Okay, so Job went through that furnace of pain. The heat was turned up on him, right? God used him. Now he knew, again, in his sovereignty, he knew how faithful Job would be. So his suffering was not a sign that God abandoned him at all. It just meant that that was the means by which Job came to know God in a way that he had never known him before. That he continued to sustain him and care for him, even when the furnace was on, even when that heat was turned up and things were, he's pouring out all this punishment on him. He didn't know why it was happening at the time, but it was for his good in the long run. I know Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, anybody remember those guys? Okay, what happened with them? They ended up in a furnace, a literal furnace, right? So they were thrown into a furnace that was so hot that it killed those that threw them into it, right? But they walked out of that furnace without a single burn or mark. They weren't affected by that furnace, right? Because when they looked up, when they were inside that fire and they're going through that hard time, the potter was there with him, right? Christ was there. So in Book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "Look, I see four men loosed, walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." And so what we see is the presence of the Lord in the fire in that. And so we should be reminded that even though we're struggling and we're going through some things that are really testing our faith, and we're asking ourselves, does God really love me? Does he care about me? Maybe we're in rebellion and we're struggling through these things. He has a plan for us. Again, the potter is not just going to put you in the kiln and just leave you there forever, okay? He has a plan. He goes in with us, right? He goes into that furnace with us. When we go through our own challenges, our own fire, he's standing there with us, just like he did for those three men. And at the cross, he went into the ultimate furnace for us, right? He went there and he bared the fullness of the full heat of sin and shame and guilt and death so that we would never have to face that fire alone. So that we would never have to endure what he endured on the behalf of humanity when he atoned for our sins, okay? He knows what it's like to be in the fire. He knows that he can be there with us. And we have to remember that he went to the fire in preparation for us as well. He went and took all of that, okay? So the person who's maybe like I did for a while, who maybe or maybe somebody's struggling with addiction or mental health or other things, you know, domestic violence, what have you, whatever struggle it is that you're living through in your life right now, it probably feels like fire because it's all consuming and you just can't seem to get out and it's just too hot. You feel like you're being punished and you feel like you're going to be maimed permanently through this event. The potter again is there. God's there with you in that fire. Okay. Some of us experience loneliness, whether in our young age or old age. Some of us are going to experience that feeling of being alone. Maybe you don't spend time with your kids. Maybe they don't visit. Maybe they don't call. Maybe as a young person, you don't have somebody else to share your time with. You don't have friends. You don't get along with others. Even in that loneliness, you're not alone. The Lord is with you, okay? He knows exactly what's going on, and he knows how to turn up that fire just enough so that he continue to mold you. And how long exactly it has to burn for you. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, I feel like I've mentioned this verse every time I preach, but no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful. No matter what we face in our lives, he is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to endure. Job is a great example of that. But with that temptation, the things that he's tempting us with, he will provide an escape. And again, for those of us that have struggled in different ways, there was always an escape. We just weren't ready for it. And once we submitted to the Lord and gave him control of our lives, and we were submissive and we stopped living in rebellion, we recognized that a way of escape was always present when we were being tempted. Because the great thing is that that furnace that you're inside of right now, there's a door. And that means that that door is going to open and the flames are going to go out and God's going to take you out, and you've been structured, you've been built, you've been firmed up, and now you're this useful vessel that can hold water or whatever it is. He can take you out of that furnace. And so that's the hope that's in this. He's not going to leave you in there longer than you need to be. He's not going to burn you. He will make sure that you come out. And so those that have been going through that furnace and you're in the hard seasons and you haven't yielded yet to the Lord's authority over you, it's time. Okay, just understand, you can come out with that strength in your life. The fire, again, is not him abandoning you there. He's strengthening you so that you're useful. So for us, as we get ready to drive to the conclusion here, we have to understand that I'm going to give you six things for us to really kind of think about in the way that the Lord and his sovereignty over what happens in our life can be comforting. Okay. There's things that we don't have to worry about that we do worry about. One, we see this in verses 5 and 6. He's in charge completely. Okay. God asks the question here, but it's not really, I guess it's not really a question, right? It's a declaration about who he is and where you stand in relation to him. Can I not do this? Am I not all powerful? Do I not have the ability to put you in the fire and take you out, to redirect you, to reshape you? Do I not have that type of authority in your life? And again, in submission, we say, yes, Lord, you do. We trust you. But in rebellion, we fight against that. This is the sovereignty of God over your life. And we need to hear this on a daily basis, that sometimes we will be broken for us to be stronger. Nothing has happened to you that surprises him. That should not surprise you. Okay. No challenges that we face in our life are surprising to him. It may be surprising to us, but we also need to be aware that God will use these things to help shape us and guide us where he needs us to be. He's not panicking to get you back on track or any of that stuff. He knows where you're at in your walk. No one gets the final word over your life except for God. No man has control over you. God has control over you and your life. Not the judge who sentences you for a crime that you may have committed. Not your spouse who passes judgment on you. Not your parent who abandoned you. Not the person that hurt you in your life. Those people, they don't have the final say over your life. God does. For those of you that have medical experiences in your life or that will endure them, that diagnosis that we receive from the doctor is not the final judgment on your life. You're still of use. And if you're breathing, you're useful. They do not hold the clay. They don't mold it. All they are is part of the process that God is using to, in his sovereignty over your life, to shape you into who you should be. So his plan was not canceled by your worst moment. So how many times, reflect for yourselves, we don't need to show hands, but how many times in your life have you really struggled and you messed up and you made a mistake and you did something that was really terrible and you wish you never did it? How many people have said things, done things that they would never say out loud? Okay. He knows. There are no secrets before the Lord. And so for those of us that try and hide those secrets and hide behind them, he knows. And so repent, believe, bring them to the Lord. Okay. Don't be afraid to bring those things to him. He knows. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you future and hope." He knows what you've done. He knows how those affect your future plans. Okay. That promise that he wrote right there in Jeremiah was written for exiles. They're written for people who had lost everything in their life. And God still said to them, and he's still saying to you today, I have plans for your welfare in the face of the calamity that you're experiencing, so that you have future and hope. I have plans for you. So being under his sovereignty is not prison. Some people struggle with the idea that God has control over their lives, right? This is a pride problem or a control problem, which is the root of that is pride, that we want to be in control of everything that happens to us all days of the week. Well, sometimes that's not for us, or that's never for us, because God has that plan already lined out. And when we fight against that and we're not being submissive, we're not being obedient to the Lord, we're living in rebellion, we will be tested harder and harder and harder. So the clay, again, is not trapped in that furnace. He will pull you out when you are done being baked to the amount that you need to be baked, so that you're the perfect pot coming out of there. Okay. Surrendering to the sovereignty of God does not mean that you're giving up. It means that you're finally putting your life in the hands of the one person that it should be in, not yours or somebody else's, and lording control over you. You're giving it to him. He was sovereign when you fell down, when you made that mistake, when you did that thing you shouldn't do, or you struggled with that thing you shouldn't struggle with, he was sovereign when you made that, when that happened. He already knew what was going on. So he'll be sovereign in you getting back up and getting back to who you should be. And so the reason we see that, and the reason that I'm confident that what scripture is showing us here, is that he's telling us very clearly that we are under his authority. Because he says in the tail end of verse 6, behold the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand. So he is showing us that he is in control of everything. You're in my hand. I'm controlling what's happening with you. You're the clay. I'm shaping you. So the potter's grip, it doesn't fail. You're in the safest, most powerful place that you could be if you're in Christ. And so the potter's still at the wheel. Right? He's shaping us every day. And to the person that's been fighting through this and fighting him this whole time, sometimes we get trapped in our head. It's a war zone up there. Don't continue to fight in your mind. All right? Don't fight against him. Willingly submit. Okay? Just like the clay gets into the oven and it's firmed up and it's goes into that kiln and it's dried out, we have to remember that every challenge we face is deliberate. He's put us there purposefully, and he has ordained that for our lives, okay? This passage really began with that simple command, arise and go. He's telling Jeremiah to be obedient, go down to the potter's house so I can show you what needs to be shown. That is still the invitation for today for us in this life. So if there's anybody here in this room, or under the sound of this voice, and it's on the radio or online, whatever it is, if this is the first time you've ever heard any of this and about the sovereignty of God and what his plans are for you and how much he loves you, that he will stay with you, the invitation hasn't changed. He's telling you, arise and go. Do what you've been called to do. The gospel's been shared with you. You've heard about God. You don't have an excuse anymore, right? You know that if you repent and believe and you profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. Arise and go. Make that decision. You don't have to be clean, right? We talked about the shower. You don't have to be clean first. You don't have to be fixed. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing to be shaped and molded. So come as that messed up piece of clay that you are and allow God to mold you and prepare you for what he has for you to do in your ministry in this life. Let's pray. Lord, Father, please break us. Please help us to understand and recognize that truly we're incapable of anything apart from you. We cannot do good apart from you. Help us to recognize that you have a plan. We each have spiritual gifts and skills and talents that you've given us. Please help us to be good stewards of those. Please help us to not live a life that's rebellious against you. And if we find ourselves in that fire, that furnace, we should be reminded that you're in there with us. You are the fourth person in that fire. When we're struggling and we are in the depths of despair and we're at the bottom, we're at the end of our rope or the bottom of the barrel, Father, we're not alone. There is hope in everything that you've provided. There's hope in the truth of Christ, what he accomplished on the cross. Father, please help us to see that we are weak vessels, just earthen vessels that are useless without being formed in your hands for your purposes, Father. Please help us to be submissive this week, to go out into the world and be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do, to make sure that we are representing you, that we are sharing the gospel willingly, that we are just being the best example that we can, that we're raising our families to know you in the way that you have shaped us to be. I just pray that we would be as faithful as Job. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we close part two, we are reminded that the picture Jeremiah saw in the potter's house is meant to stay with us. God is the potter, and we are the clay. That means our lives are not random, and history is not out of control. The Lord who created all things is actively shaping His purposes according to His perfect will. Sometimes the shaping process is not easy. The clay on the wheel is pressed, turned, and worked by the hands of the potter. In the same way, God often uses trials, correction, and circumstances to shape the lives of His people. Yet the comfort of this passage is that we are never outside of His hands. The potter never abandons the clay. Jeremiah 18 reminds us to humble ourselves before the Lord, who rules over all things. Instead of resisting His hand, we trust His wisdom, knowing that everything He does is right. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations, as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.